It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Good morning, Graham. How are you doing?
Good morning, Sakia. I'm doing well, thanks. It's been a busy few weeks with all the, you know, the public holidays. Mm-hmm. I've been down at my brother's wedding in PE.
Oh, nice.
So it's been lots going on, and then also with kids having school exams starting and all of that stuff. So
it's
been a bit chaotic.
I know, I can relate to the latter part of that. I know. I thought you would be off today, you know, just focusing on voting day, election day, but you decided to come through.
Yeah, look, I mean, we have to be here every 2 weeks, and it's been interesting. The last couple of times it's been public holidays and that, but it's always great to be here. So after the show, I'm going to go join the lines and and make my mark. You know, I think as you know, as citizens and responsible citizens, it's important that we do, you know, and not forget how hard people have fought to in the past to make it possible for everyone to vote. You know, it's easy to take it for granted nowadays.
That's true. That's true. Now, let's talk about what we will be chatting about today.
So, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be listening today. They might be standing in the lines, but, you know, there's always the podcast afterwards if necessary. But we're going to be talking about something that's actually really important, but it's often neglected by business owners until it's too late.
Yikes. Okay. Okay. What is that?
Okay. Well, you know, I wish it was something mysterious, but it's actually the topic of business insurance. You know, and I think, unfortunately, it's often seen as a grudge purchase. But in terms of a business owner, I think we all know the concept of insurance in our personal lives, but it can be crucial in a time of unforeseen circumstances, and it can actually be devastating if it's not in place. But, you know, when we talk about insurance, there's not just one type of insurance. There are many different types, and they all have different needs. So we're going to dive a little bit into that today.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, before we get into the details, please briefly share what insurance is and also why it is important.
All right. So in a nutshell, insurance is what, you know, in the industry is referred to as a risk product. So basically, you know, a lot of us will be familiar with it, but you pay hopefully a small fee or what's known as a premium. Mm-hmm. So that if something happens that's out of our hands, you know, so in simple terms, if something goes wrong, the insurance company will pay out an amount in compensation for that event. Mm-hmm. So usually it's something that has got big financial consequences. So the reason it's important is because many businesses, particularly like small businesses, you know, don't have the means or resources to pay for these big catastrophic events out of their day-to-day cash resources. You know, they've got enough money to pay salaries at the end of the month, if they're lucky, to pay suppliers. But, you know, if something big happens, the business could be a threat. And, you know, in many instances, it can result in a loss of jobs or even the closure of the business.
Sure.
So what insurance allows you to do is it's kind of like, you know, not a savings, but it allows you to put aside a small amount every month to protect against that risk if something goes wrong. But not all events or what we call risks are insurable. You know, so in business, there are many things that can go wrong and one can protect against these. But there are some things which, you know, the insurance companies won't cover. But today I'm just going to talk about a few different types of business insurance. What these protect against and why they are important to consider.
Yeah, so it's a bit more complicated than just having insurance. I know that you spoke about the various types of insurance. Talk us through some of them today.
Sure. So, you know, today, just depending on the time, and I'll try to spread it out and pace it nicely, but I'm going to talk about, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 different types of insurances. We'll see how far we get. That are relevant for small business owners. So the first one I'm going to be talking about is, you know, what's commonly known as short-term goods and or building insurance. You know, so for example, fire and theft insurance. The second one is key man insurance. A lot of people might not know what that is, so we'll explore that a little bit. The third one is what we call buy-sell insurance. Interesting name, and we'll explain that just now. Then some of the more familiar ones, so workman's compensation, business interruption insurance, and if we've got a bit of time, we might talk about income replacement cover and public liability insurance. So those are kind of the sort of key insurances that a that a typical small business might want to think about or consider. I think the one thing I will say, you know, it's like when you listen to a financial services ad, is T's and C's apply, but, but jokes aside, I think it's important to note today we're talking in general business educational terms. You know, I'm not a registered insurance seller or provider, so I've got no vested interest here at all. So what I'm sharing can't be taken as financial advice, but think of it as being educational. So, you know, if there's a listener who hears something today, I'd encourage them to, you know, engage with a registered financial advisor or their business advisor to properly understand their particular needs and circumstances.
Right. So let's start with the first one, short-term fire and theft cover. What is that?
All right. So short-term cover is probably the most common type of cover that, you know, most people will be familiar with. So in essence, what this protects against is any sort of damage or theft to equipment or property. Okay, so if you think about it, and a lot of us have this in our personal capacity as well. But let's say you own a retail shop, and one night you get a call at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. Alarm's gone off, it wakes you up in the middle of your sleep. Somebody's broken into the store, they've smashed through the front window, and they've taken half of your you know, your goods that are sitting on the shelves. So what's happened there is you've now incurred a loss. So there's a few things that you you've lost. The goods that were stolen, obviously, and the window that needs to be repaired. So this type of insurance usually would cover, you know, let's call it the cost of repairs to the window, and it would also usually cover the cost to replace the stock or the inventory that was stolen. Normally in this situation as well, I'll introduce a concept here, is that you would have to pay what's known as an excess before the business owner would pay, or the insurer would pay out, you know, the claim. And essentially what the excess is a small fee. You know, it varies, but usually it's between 500 or 5,000 Rand. And it covers the first portion of the loss. So let's say in this example, the stuff that was stolen was worth 15,000 Rand. You know, you would pay, let's call it a 500 Rand excess, and then the insurer would pay out the balance. So as long as you can demonstrate the loss, you know, how much was lost. So often the insurer will say, well, prove to us that you had the stock, you know, in the store in the first place. And also there's a lot of terms and conditions that go with the contract. You know, I'll use a common one, and it's really important with things like short-term insurance that you're not what you call underinsured. So without getting too technical about this, if you've got 100,000 rands worth of stock in your store, but you've only insured for 50,000 rand, what happens is you may have had 15,000 rands worth of stock stolen. The insurer won't pay you for the full 15. They apply what they call the law of average, and they would only pay you, you know, 50 over 100. You've only insured half of the value. So they would only pay out half of the loss, you know. So actually understanding, you're not just having insurance, but knowing how much insurance you need is really, really important. And then also being able to prove that. So you need to have good record keeping in place to show that you had the stock. You know, as a business, are you doing regular stock counts and stock takes and all of those sorts of things? So, you know, we've spoken about those in previous episodes. The record keeping, you know, has many different implications. And then the insurer will send out what they call an assessor. So the assessor will come out. They will, you know, assess the damages and basically show that you're not, you know, trying to defraud them and that. And you know, unfortunately, insurance fraud happens way more often than people realize. You know, oh, I had 15,000 stock, and suddenly when the claim goes in, there's an extra 5,000 of things that didn't exist. So that's a sad reality of, you know, of the world we live in. But then assessor will come out. And, you know, the same could happen, you know, if you have damage to things like a motor vehicle, you might have a delivery vehicle, you know, so the kind of insurance you have with motor vehicles would typically be your short-term fire theft damage policy. So that, in a nutshell, is what short-term and theft cover is all about.
All right. It's quite pretty straightforward. Now let's move to the next one, the key man insurance. Talk us through that. I've never heard of that term. What kind of insurance? Talk us through that.
Okay. So the key man doesn't refer to the guy, you know, the doorman who's got the key to the front doors. But key man insurance isn't actually something we like to think about. It's a little bit morbid because it deals with death. Okay. But it can be really important, especially when a business is growing. And, you know, when you become a business with employees beyond just the owner and one or two helpers. So as your business gets bigger, this becomes more important. And why is that? Essentially, key man insurance is a form of life insurance. Mm. And what it does is it pays out a sum of money to the business in the event of the owner or the key individual in the business dying or passing away. So when a business gets to a certain size, it's really important to have this in place. So I know none of us like to think about death of an owner or a key individual. Now, a key individual is somebody who's really critical to the functioning of that business. But sadly, it does happen. You know, I've seen, you know, unfortunately, I've seen examples where thriving businesses have had to be shut down, you know, with the loss of jobs and services that comes with that when the owner, you know, has been in a tragic event, be it a car accident or illness or something like that, and the necessary preparations haven't taken place. So I think the other thing with this is, you know, the passing of an owner of a business is a tragic and emotional event in and of itself. So now you've got 10 or 20 or 30 employees there, the owner's no longer around, and they're worrying about their livelihood and what have you. So this sum of money that gets paid out for key man insurance allows the custodians of the business to be able to continue to operate the business for a period. You know, so it gives them time to find a replacement CEO or a managing director. Will pay their salary for a period of time so that the business can continue to trade despite the tragedy of the owner's passing. You know, so this money, and importantly, you know, compared to, let's call it, personal life insurance, it's specifically dedicated to the business. Okay. So it's not about, you know, the surviving spouse or the family can, you know, take the money. It's key man to the business to ensure the survival and the continuation of the business. If something happens to that insured person.
Right. Now, it's obviously not a nice, it's not nice rather to think about death, but as you mentioned, we see how important this can be, and therefore we need to plan accordingly. Now, talk us about the next kind of insurance or type of insurance, buy-sell insurance.
Okay. So, again, buy-sell insurance has actually got, you know, the name's a little bit misleading. It's got nothing to do with buying and selling, in the traditional sense. So it's quite a confusing name. Buy-sell insurance is actually also a form of life insurance. And in some ways, it's quite similar to key man. But it's actually different. So where this becomes really relevant is in many businesses, there's more than one owner. So it could be a partnership where two people have decided to open up a coffee shop together, or any business where you've got more than one shareholder. Okay. So now what happens is, you know, with key man insurance, it's around the survival of the business. You can also have multiple shareholders there, but that's to kind of ensure the survival of the business so it can continue to operate. But if you've got multiple shareholders or partners, now what happens if one of those partners dies? Okay. So, yes, you've got other business partners who can continue to run the business. But what happens is those shares or the ownership of that business now passes on to the estate of that individual. And then, according to the will of that person, they would pass on to whoever they've defined in their will. It could be a trust, it could be a surviving spouse, children, or anyone else. But often what happens is that person who the ownership or part ownership of the business has been left to has either got no interest in the business, you know, so maybe they've emigrated and they're living overseas, or they may not have the skills to run the business, you know. So let's say it's an engineer who owns an engineering business. Their son might be an accountant or daughter might be a lawyer. They may have no interest in going into that business. Or the surviving spouse, they you know, they may be doing something completely different. So what buy-sell insurance does is it actually, sorry, let me just take a step back there. Now, for the other shareholders who are remaining in the business, suddenly their partner has now gone, okay? and they've got somebody new to the table who may not know anything about running that business. Mm. So it can be really, really tricky. You know, if you're running a business, suddenly you've got this third party coming in who knows nothing about it. So what buy-sell insurance does is it pays out a sum of money that allows the remaining or the surviving owners and shareholders to buy out the family, let's call it, of the deceased partner or the shareholder. And it's based on the underlying value of the company at that point in time. So so what happens is the surviving spouse, you know, or you know, whoever's in the will, gets paid out 5 or 10 or 20 million, whatever their share of that business is worth. Yeah. Now, most businesses don't have, again, lots of spare cash lying around just in case somebody dies and they need to buy out the surviving family member. And again, in a tragic event like this, you know, it's not just the financial aspect. There's so much emotional turmoil that's going on. You know, if you're in business with somebody, invariably, you know, you've got a personal relationship with them, you're partners, they're close friends. So you're dealing with that. And now you're also dealing with, oh, shucks, you know, now I've got a spouse who's got no interest in the business. So sadly, though, this is one of those kind of insurances that a lot of business owners don't know about. And it's also something that every year needs to be updated as the value of the business increases. So when your business is small, the business may not be worth a lot, but as the business gets bigger, it gets worth more and more, hopefully. So I've unfortunately seen too many horror stories, you know, where despite having to deal with emotional trauma, the business also suffers extreme hardship. You know, so if you don't have this kind of insurance in place, the existing shareholders might need to take out a loan. They might need to make, you know, sacrifices so that they can continue to pay, you know, surviving family. So it's really, really, really tricky. Now, if you've, you know, got a good financial advisor, like, be prepared. Not every business needs this, but, you know, if you're in a partnership or have other shareholders, it's definitely something you need to think about and consider and update on a regular basis.
Sure, it's quite a lot and, you know, quite heavy and hectic things to think about. But let's move on to the next one, the workman's compensation cover. Talk us through that.
Sure. So, you know, as I say, we've dealt with kind of the sort of the heavier ones.
The heavier
so hopefully
ones,
the next one's a little bit easier to deal with. But in simple terms, workers' compensation is exactly what it says it is. Okay, so this one isn't a misleading title. But basically, it's a type of coverage that provides financial and medical benefits to employees who suffer a work-related injury or illness. So let's say, for example, Sake, you know, we've got beautiful views looking out over Muizenberg here. But let's say one day you get to work and you're walking up the stairs and there's a piece of loose carpet and you trip over that and you fall and you break your ankle, for argument's sake. Okay, you're at work, you're in the duty of work, or let's say you know, operating in a factory and you're using a piece of machinery and you slip and you break your arm or your hand gets crushed. You know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things that can happen. But there's a bunch of costs that arise from that. So there's medical costs. Yeah, you've got to get an ambulance out here. There's also potentially a loss of income for that employee when they can't work. So there's a loss that's associated there. So this kind of insurance is crucial because it ensures that the worker or the employee receives the necessary medical care and the compensation for lost wages, you know, without having to go through a lengthy legal process. And again, you know, these are not things that most businesses have a fund set aside just in case. Like, these are events that don't happen hopefully that frequently, but when they do, they can be devastating, not just for the business but also the employee involved. So it protects employers or business owners against, let's call it, lawsuits from employees. So it creates a safer and more secure working environment, but equally it is also critical for employees. So, you know, that you have kind of a safety net if something happens to you at work. So it mitigates risk for the employee. So this is actually a kind of a two-sided one. You know, that employees should also be saying to their bosses and that, have you got workman's compensation in place? Now, in South Africa, you know, as a registered business, you know, you register with the Workmen's Compensation Fund. But this is actually really, really important. So, you know, both from the employer and the employee side, you need to think about it. And I'm sure we all know somebody who's been, you know, injured at work. And obviously there's limits here. You know, if you kind of stub your toe and, you know, you just need to go to the pharmacy and get some aspirin, clearly that's not a insurance claim. But
Like slicing your hand. True story, I once heard of a lady who was working at a factory, and I think she used to slice something, but then she literally sliced her two middle fingers. So I call her Spider-Man. Call her Lady Spider-Man now. But on to the next, Graham. What about business interruption insurance? What is that?
All right, so this is something that, you know, I think a couple of years back was incredibly topical. So I think a lot of businesses would have been familiar with this during the COVID pandemic. And it was actually quite controversial at the time because, you know, when COVID hit, it impacted a lot of businesses, particularly the travel and tourism industry. But business interruption insurance is essentially designed to compensate for businesses' lost income and operating expenses, you know, so to pay for salaries and all that during a temporary shutdown or unforeseen event, such as a natural disaster, a fire, or catastrophic event. So let's say you're running a gym, okay, or a CrossFit, or I probably shouldn't use brand names, but and a fire breaks out and your sort of box or your gym is burnt down. Okay, so you would hopefully have building insurance, or your landlord would have building insurance to kind of fix the building. But, you know, for 3 months or 4 months or however long it's going to take to rebuild that place, you can't run your business. You know, so either you need to find another premises where there's an additional rental, or you simply can't. Now, business interruption insurance would cover that event. You can't suddenly go and retrench all your staff and what have you. But it's vital because, again, you know, this kind of unexpected event, it keeps the business alive. And it's normally got a window for which it pays, you know, 6 months or 12 months or 3 months or whatever the case might be. So it would cover things as rent, payroll, utilities, so that when the business starts up again, it can recover. It doesn't mean it replaces all the income and everything of the business, but it does allow the sort of business to continue without severe financial strain. Now, why I spoke a bit about COVID earlier, a lot of those policies, you know, the wording on these is very, very critical. You know, there are certain events that are sort of excluded from business interruption insurance. You know, I think a lot of insurance companies tweak their wording around things such as pandemics and epidemics, and there can be a lot of technicality here. So, you know, when you take business interruption insurance, it's very, as with all insurance, it's critical that you read the fine print. You understand what's covered, what's not. Because you think you might be covered for something, but a lot of these policies also have certain exclusions. And you need to be aware what those exclusions are. But, you know, again, it's really around a safety net when something happens, and you can continue to pay your staff and keep the business alive.
I think we still have time here to talk about the last two, income replacement cover and public liability. Talk us through those.
Sure. So let's talk about this. So we spoke about business interruption insurance. Income replacement cover is something maybe a little bit simpler, but it's related. But a lot of professions, let's say you're a doctor or, you know, you're a lawyer, professional, you know, where you need to be physically present to do the work. Okay, so it's not a business in the traditional, well, it is a business, but, you know, where the business is highly reliant on you to do the work. So what happens now if you get sick, and you can't be here for 2 weeks or 3 weeks? You know, you get a certain amount of sick leave and, you know, you still get your salary over the period. That's not really something that you worry about. And once your sick leave is exhausted, okay, obviously then you might have to take unpaid leave or annual leave if you're sick. But for a doctor, when the doctor gets sick, he can't see patients. He's got no way of generating an income. So what, and you know, for like a day or two off, it's not an issue. But usually what these policies do is if you in a car accident or even illness where you're out of action for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, this cover would pay their salary for a period. And normally that's restricted. It would be for like a maximum of 6 months or 12 months. Mm. So this is really designed to provide individuals with a portion of their income so that if they can't work due to illness or injury. So again, it's really critical, you know, to provide stability for that individual. You know, you don't want a doctor to have to shut down his practice and be declared bankrupt mm. simply because, you know, he's gotten sick. So I think it's a safety net for them, and it's really important to, you know, a lot of these guys also don't have substantial savings that they can lean into. So it's a nice way to give them a safety net mm. if something happens to them. Yeah. And then the last one I'll talk about briefly is public liability insurance. So again, public liability, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory by the word, but it talks about the public. And basically what it does is it protects a business against legal claims from their customers and people that they're serving. So the public. Okay. Yeah. So let's say, for example, you're running a or third party. Let's say you're running a concert, for instance. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of people there, and something happens, you know, the stage collapses and the people in the front row get injured.
Yeah.
So it's not workman's compensation, it's not an employee, but it's a member of the public who is in your store. Or as you say, a client walks into your store and a shelf falls over and something happens to them.
Mm.
You know, they've got medical expenses, they've got things. And public liability insurance effectively helps cover any of the legal costs or compensation payments if the business is found liable for that event. So it's really common in things like events where there's gatherings of people. But most businesses should have a form of public liability cover. Often it's an add-on to an existing policy. So if you've got fire and theft cover, there will often be a little tick box that says, you know, do you want the public liability cover as well? Some policies, it's automatic. You know, so it's really important that businesses understand that, again, you're not necessarily thinking when you're running a business and you're worried about paying payroll and salaries and suppliers about what happens if a member of the public gets injured or hurt on your premises. So, again, really important thing to consider.
Yes, and this would include parking at your own risk
kind
of vibe situation.
Exactly.
All right. Now, we've covered a tremendous amount today, Graham. Could you just briefly summarize a few of your key takeouts for today?
Sure. So to recap, you know, insurance is often seen as a grudge purchase. The reality is you don't need it until you need it. So you often tend to forget about it and you think, oh, it's an unnecessary expense. But all I want to say to the listeners and business owners, even in your personal life, it is best that you are prepared. You know, if you don't take insurance, but you've considered it and you thought about it and you just simply think, oh, you know, I can't afford to take it or whatever, that's fine. Then you have to be prepared to suffer the consequence if and when something happens. Mm-hmm. Or you might say, listen, I'm not going to take insurance, but I'm going to set aside 10% of my income every month, you know, and build up a safety net. Most people don't have the discipline or even the financial means to be able to do that. Mm. So just to recap, we've covered, you know, 7 types of insurance today, if I can count correctly. Short-term goods and building insurance, key man insurance.
Buy-sell
insurance, correct. Workman's compensation, business interruption insurance, and then the last two, income replacement and public liability insurance. So, you know, if anybody wants to hear more, understand this, please chat to a qualified business insurance broker. And it's important that you chat to a business insurance broker who understands the nuances of these types of insurances. Not all advisors are specialists in, you know, these types of insurances. So it's something you need to consider as a business owner.
Yeah, very much informative as always. Graham, thank you so much for joining us today and enjoy the rest of your public holiday.
You too, and good luck with the voting. We'll chat again to you soon.
Fantastic. It is 10:44 and that is how we wrap up Business Made Simple with Bizval.
It's Business Made Simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.